Make sure you get us loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio.
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Lonely. Download some friends.
Ice cold beer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Used Wigs Radio, podcast number 54. Tonight, we roll out the barrel, and we'll have a barrel of fun, because we are talking beer tonight. It is the Used Wigs Beer Podcast with our special guest, Philadelphia-based beer expert, John Ciccotti. Hiya, John.
Hey, how are you doing?
Thank you. This is probably... A lot of guests come in here. Most of them come in empty-handed, correct?
Absolutely.
John came in with bags and books and... Not only bags filled with clinking, lovely beers. So, John, congratulations on really knowing how to enter a room.
What makes you a Philadelphia beer expert?
Well, first of all, I live in Philadelphia.
Okay,
that's half. That's half.
And the expert part's a little bit probably shakier, but I did a dissertation. I wrote a PhD dissertation on the history of brewing.
Oh, wow.
So there, Todd. So you have your credentials. You feel comfortable? There you go.
Philadelphia beer expert.
John and I work together, and a lot of times we'll be like, John, it's, you know, summer or it's getting near fall, and I'm going to the beer store tonight. Any advice? And then about a half hour later, I have more knowledge, and then I go to the beer store, and they really sometimes they have the stuff he recommends, sometimes they don't. But the good stuff, John, why is it that everything is so expensive?
It is expensive.
All
why?
The good stuff.
Well, there's good quality.
Yeah.
Good quality hops, good quality malt.
And I guess you get what you pay for. Last show we talked about computer-wise, like laptops. We're saying, why can't you buy a cheap laptop? And Aaron's like, you get what you pay for. Same it goes with beer, I take it.
I guess it's commodities, but then you've got certain styles and brands and things like that. So of even the basic ingredients. So
do beers that cost more for the consumer cost more to make?
Probably. Yeah.
Or to import, right?
Well, then there's that, yeah. The importing cost, although I think, you know, I'm not an expert on all this economic stuff, but I think that, you know, yeah, the brewers are trying to sell you the beer for the lowest possible price that you'll pay for it. The ingredients can be quite expensive. Just to compare a kind of a mass market beer versus a higher end beer, a Budweiser, a Miller is going to put in actually less grain in it. It's going to
and taste.
Well, that's where the taste comes from. You know, fewer hops.
So it's not a case of just charging more because it makes it hoity-toitier or posher beer, and then suddenly, like a Tiffany's necklace or something, is cost more because
that's right. Like a gold necklace from one place versus another. I don't think so. I mean, that's not my impression at all.
Which apparently is the case with things like vodka.
And then would be true. Although there is, there is some truth to the fact that some vodkas are triple distilled, quadruple distilled. You know, there is an actual cost involved. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, then you have kind of just the bottle, the marketing, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, I'm sure that goes into beer in some way. But you're talking about, then you're talking about different marketing. I mean, you know, if a lot of them that, you know, you might see are you know, they are up against the big beer brands. And so
the 30 packs of Stroh's and, you know, yeah. MGD Light.
Well,
right.
You know, like here in Pennsylvania, you go to one of the beer distributors to buy a case.
Yes.
I was there on the weekend, and, you know, there are a lot of beers that I would love to buy, and I could probably afford it. It's not like I can't spend $100 on a case of beer. But, you know, I'm not really going to do that.
You should, though. Hey, why don't we first, John, you poured us a delicious beer.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what this is?
Right. Well, I brought about 12 different kinds of beer. What we're drinking now is a Tetley's English Ale.
Yes.
Very nice. And I brought this because it's a pretty good beer. It's a pretty basic beer, and it's probably a good example of what beer tasted like way back when. It's just an ale. We can talk about the different kinds of beers, but this is a nice English ale.
Now, is this probably the smoothest beer you could drink? In just because I know, like,
it has like no carbonation. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, just
well,
very...
yeah. So this beer is what they call it's served as a cask conditioned or a can draft beer. Mm-hmm. English ales or some English ales and now some American ales you can get in what's known as cask condition. That means they're not force carbonated. They've got the yeast in the cask and in the keg to produce some bubbling.
Is that what you'd get on the hand pump?
And that's what you get on the hand pump.
Well, Tom.
Yes.
So this is supposed to be served this is warm? Or
a little warmer, yeah. Warm is a misconception.
Warmer than what
warmer,
we're
yeah.
Right.
I think, I can't remember the exact temperature.
Hot beer, yeah, woo! Yeah. That's going to be the next marketing campaign. It's like, hot beer! Cold Sunday morning, hot beer!
It's delicious, though. What would a case or a can of this cost?
Well, that's a lot of money.
No, this one's not too bad.
Put it on
$500.
Yeah. someone did bring me a few bottles of.
You got it at a Rent-A-Center, right? Where you rent it.
That's right. I have to bring it back. I have to bring it back. Yeah.
Question though, this is very similar to my favorite English beer, Boddington's.
Yes, in fact, that was the other one I was going to get. Although this one's a little darker in color, but they're both about the same.
They're similar to my favorite beer, which you can't get anymore.
McCaffrey's. That's right.
Caffrey's ale.
I love Caffrey's. Yeah. But can't get in.
They're all similar. I mean, in a way, they're English ales.
Well, guys, during the show, I am going to pepper you with beer trivia to kind of, you know, get not only the taste buds activated, but the brain cells activated.
And is this beer trivia that you happen to know? Because you're a beer fan.
Here's the deal.
And I was saying before, I don't believe that Russ is a beer fan. It's just, that's the impression in the...
What makes it? Because I don't drink 10 of them?
Well, it's not.
It's the same thing. Like, I like scotch, but I like a glass of it.
I just feel like when you're over the house and there, and I always have lots of different interesting beers.
Oh, you certainly
do,
Todd.
Beers. And then, when you leave... There's like 3/4 of the beer that you happen to have had.
Russ, you leave a mystery beer?
Right, because no.
A floater?
No. You will see me drinking anywhere from 1 to 3 beers.
What?
Okay.
And that's the end of it.
That's called my first hour of drinking.
1 to 3 or 1/3. One of the
There's
two.
Different styles.
John, you
Thank
know
you.
I like...
Thank you, John.
John and Todd, you both know I like beer. The thing is, I know nothing about beer, and I have...
Is that right?
I will tell you, I have the world's worst palate, where I can't tell the difference between anything. I just, like, something's yummy or it's not yummy. That's it. My first...
that's the word to use.
Yummy, yeah, that's the word. We're going
to
play a song, yummy's but a good first, one. Guys, I'm going to hit you with a trivia question. Beer is the second most popular beverage in the world. What is the first?
I do think I actually know this.
What, alcoholic?
No, just beverage.
Water?
No.
No.
John?
Tea.
Tea, correct.
Wow. Good
Everybody drinks it. Tea. Those limeys, all of Asia... guys who aren't man enough to drink coffee, all types of people drink tea.
And in fact, we're drinking Tetley's right
now. Tetley's, right. Very similar.
Which I do believe is the same company that owns the tea brands.
I believe they also own, I think, Lion's Tea, which is a big English-Irish tea. All right, guys, let's pour another beer. And while we do, we will play a song. And I believe, Russ, you're going to have... First
you
dibs
guys are all done with your beer, and I'm still sipping.
Well, get chugging there.
See, there are different styles, Jeff.
Yes.
This is a band out of Brooklyn, a band called The Actual Facts, and this is off their latest, I guess it's an EP, it's a 6-song release called Pain/Pleasure, and this is, how do you say it, Jeff?
Chaise Lounge.
Chaise Lounge.
You've got to give yourself a hug. Clear away the dirties and do what you do best. Yeah, do what you do best. You've got too much on your mind. You've got too much on your mind. You've got too much on your mind. You've got too much on your mind.
Okay, that was The Actual Facts with Chaise Lounge.
Chaise Lounge! And I was saying, and I'm pretty sure that Chaise Lounge is, it's redundant. I believe chaise is French, it means lounge, so there's really no reason.
Yeah, actually, I just read about that.
So, this
I think,
band...
I think I have another explanation for that, if I can.
All right, well, John,
interrupt.
You're going with the PhD.
No, I think the French term is chaise longue.
Oh.
Long chair.
That's right. Chair. That's right.
Chaise longue, and it's just mispronounced in English.
Yeah. Mm. I was just reading something, actually. I should have forwarded it to you, Jeff, because it was a whole thing about
outdoor, like, furniture?
No, it was a whole thing about these handful of phrases that have basically been bastardized like that.
Oh.
That where we just think it is something because it's been said wrong for so long. Mm-hmm. That was one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And they creep in. It's amazing how words will creep in and get accepted in dictionaries, yeah, like in 10 years, just because like one newspaper guy writes it,
yeah,
a pundit.
It's a living language,
it,
though.
It
but
is
I mean, but phrases in particular, right? I mean, almost everybody says, I could care less.
I couldn't care less.
I could care less makes no sense.
Makes no sense.
And you hear everybody say it that way.
Well, yeah, guys, this is a perfect seg into...
And even type it that way sometimes.
Here's
Sorry, Jeff.
Very similar, Russ, to what you're talking about. How about a beer-based question in that? You know the expression, mind your P's and Q's?
Oh, I know where that comes from.
Wow!
Is it pints and quarts? Or,
yes!
And because, so if you paid for the smaller and grabbed a hold of the larger, then the bartender would say, mind your P's and Q's.
Well, there's a bunch of different... in English pubs, unruly customers were told to mind their pints and quarts and settle down. So if there's a big ruckus going, maybe a Donnybrook, if you will, in a pub, they'll say, hey, mind your
not.
P's and Q's.
I will not.
Do you know Wet Your Whistle is also beer-based?
Is it?
Any guesses on that one?
Wet Your Whistle? Ancient referees of games would stop.
Ancient referees.
Ancient referees. Sumerian referees would stop for a beer break.
No, apparently.
As the Sumerians are kicking around the defeated army's heads in a game of head soccer. I'm sorry, Russ.
Head soccer.
Apparently where that came from was...
They called it head soccer.
There were like steins. There were steins that they used, like, again, like Middle Ages or something like that, that had something that when you wanted the barkeep to come over, you would blow on it,
to
whistle them over. Which, and so it was, you would just, and so somebody would come in, I just want to wet my whistle on this one.
That is awesome.
Huh?
Nice.
I like it.
All right, so we just poured, John, this is
pretty...
Pilsner Urquell.
Yeah, so this is a good example of the other main style of beer. So we just had an ale, and this is a lager beer. There are a couple different kinds of lagers. There's more consistency among different kinds of lagers than there are with ales. But this one originated as one of the original lager beers, also known as Pilsner beers. Mm-hmm. They come from a town in what is now the Czech Republic called Pilsen.
Wow.
So they're Pilsners. And Urquell in German means the original source, the source in terms of water. What do you call that? A spring.
Mm-hmm.
A fountain.
Fresh water, yeah.
The original source for Pilsners.
This tastes like the beer. Well, I went to Prague.
Yeah,
and
that's Pivo,
yeah,
what you get.
And they don't have different beer types.
No, you
they
just
have,
order beer.
You, well, they have light or dark.
Oh, yeah.
And dark wasn't particularly dark. It was slightly darker.
Yeah. We've
but
got,
you could. That was the one thing left over that is still dirt cheap. You know, I guess if you went there 8 years ago, you'd get really far on the dollar.
It's cheaper than Coke if you go there. It was.
Everything's gone up, but now beer is...
A beer would be cheaper than a glass of Coke.
Yeah.
Do you know the
giant ones that we had to hold with the mugs? We had to hold with two hands.
Really?
It was like a beer utopia there.
Oh my god,
that's pretty good.
Uh-huh. Did you know that the Czechs per capita drink the most beer in the world? On average, 160 liters a year per person.
Man, cool, woman, and child.
How cool are they? And also, this beer here, Pilsner Urquell, I did my research, was the number one imported beer in the United States before Prohibition.
Interesting. I did not know.
So how long has this been around for, this brand?
I think this is all lagers were basically invented, in the 19th century.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, the middle of the 19th century.
Refreshing.
Pilsner, Urquell, Spaten in Munich were some of the bigger breweries that sort of introduced and innovated with this style. So it's a technological story and a cultural story. So the technology part of it is that they're brewed at lower temperatures. They're brewed at 40 in the 40s. And for that, you need either a deep, dark cellar that's cool like that or artificial refrigeration. You also use kind of more, I want to say bland, because there's a lot of good flavors in there, but you use a pretty more consistent style of malt of a lighter color, although there are darker lagers, as you said. Mm-hmm. A Bock beer, an Oktoberfest, those are also lagers.
And what does Bock mean? It means the bottom?
No, Bock is actually, this is one of these beer stories. Bock in German means ram, the male sheep, a ram, they come from a town called Einbeck, and in German, Ein means A, and they say, I'll have Einbeck, Einbach. It kind of, this is one of these things where it got, in the same language, got sort of transmuted into Einbach, Bock beer, and then because they're a little bit stronger, usually they have a higher alcohol, the Bock and the strong and the ram and all that kind of stuff. So I have a double Bock.
Ooh, double Bock.
So what does that mean?
Double bologna.
Which actually has a little ram icon on it.
Ooh, wow.
So the celebratory. Any beer that ends in...
little dangling classic.
Yeah. I certainly will.
My brother told me about drinking the triple Bock, the Sam Adams triple Bock. He said it was like drinking motor oil.
Yeah.
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 See, good, I thought it meant like it was the bottom of any given brew.
That's
and
what
then
I
double
heard,
Bock
yeah.
would have been the bottom of the bottom, and then the triple Bock would have been the bottom of the bottom of the bottom.
It must have been odd having all that like false that knowledge in your head.
I don't think so. I've never heard
I think
that.
I actually may have explained
and
it
I mean and the
too.
And the double Bock, and I don't even think I've heard of a triple Bock.
Todd was giving his own beer class.
Sam Adams did something. Was it in these little blue bottles?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
You had to buy them as individual
ones, and they had a little string around them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that was was sort of a particular, you know, unique thing that Sam Adams did. And I think they aged those as well.
And apparently they were like really thick and dark.
Yeah, yeah.
So
this is there are beers like that, in other words, that are kind of like ports, let's, you know, put it that way.
Right.
They're a little stronger, they're concentrated. And they're aged often.
And you drink them out of a glass that you would drink scotch sometimes?
Exactly. You don't. First of all, you're not going to have a pint.
Yeah. Oh, we'll see about that, sir.
You're going to have a snifter or a smaller glass to get the aromas out.
I couldn't wait while you guys were talking.
Oh, yeah.
I opened this. This is the Einger Celebrator Doppelbock, finest Bavarian Doppelbock beer. I was in Bavaria, Munich, during Maybach Fest.
Mm-hmm. Maybach?
Maybach. I guess that means it was in May. So
yes.
I'm kind of guessing it had something to do with the Maybach. And boy, was that fun. That has to be Mecca, Shangri-La for beer lovers, right? I mean, you can't get better than Bavaria.
It's pretty good. That's the thing. I mean, there are good beers in many different regions.
But I mean, not so much the beer. The beers are delicious, but the beer culture.
The beer culture, yeah. The beer garden.
The beer garden, the giant plotches.
Yep.
And you just, it's a happy, drunk feeling all day long, and it's insanely great.
Well, for some people, it's the drunk part, but I do think there's a whole, the part
you
of the culture
sober?
Is
what?
There's a very, you know, there's a very kind of, you know, you have a beer, you can have a half of a liter, they call them a Maß, which is the big liter stein. You can have a half, you can, on weekends, you take a bike ride out in the country,
yes.
and you stop at a a monastery where they brew beer. There's a great one outside of Munich.
So you
called
could go to
Andex.
Church and drink.
Huh. Yep, and you have what, and drink you it. Have what they call a Radler beer, which means a bicycle riding beer or bicycle rider.
Wow.
And it's half half Sprite, half lemon soda, and half beer. Half
can I get that without the Sprite?
Yes, all of course. Of course. No,
then you had just, it like that.
You just had a beer. You know, I prefer just to have the beer. By itself.
This is although but, stronger. I mean, I see only six.
Yeah,
6.7%, and some beers. And it seems like it's a current trend that that some of these restaurants and bars that you go that pride themselves in their beer selection list the alcohol by volume, and B that some of these companies are putting out very high octane beers.
Exactly, and they're doing this. What's that?
It's the can shop.
Oh, okay.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I shop by alcohol.
Well, yeah, and that's fine. I mean, there's a couple things going on there. One is that I believe in the U.S. you weren't allowed to advertise the alcohol
is
content.
That right?
So the malt liquor and you know all that kind of stuff. You know, it's stronger, it'll work faster, whatever those commercials are all about. You know, those were well. That's I think what they say for one
Cole
of those
45,
or Cole 45 or something like that. It gets the job done. Okay.
John, I don't mean to cut you
off.
No,
that's fine.
We're going to come back. We're going to play a song. I think I'm up next, guys. You just played a Brooklyn band, right, Ross?
I did.
How about I play a Brooklyn band, too?
All right.
Wouldn't that be super? This band's called Parts and Labor, and this is from their new album called Receivers, and this is the song Nowhere's Nigh. Wow, Nowhere's Nigh. It's a bit of a tongue twister. Here's Parts and Labor.
Yellow, white, and yielding.
And we're back, people. That fantastic song was called Nowhere's Nigh off the new album Receivers by the Brooklyn band Parts and Labor. You can check them out on their MySpace page, myspace.com/partsandlabor. No ampersand. Spell the word and, please. Okay, we're back, guys, with beer talk. And, of course, you're just clamoring for beer trivia. Guys, what's the oldest brewery in North America?
Molson.
Yingling. Congratulations, Molson.
Todd. Oh,
Todd,
America.
Now you get a bonus question, Todd, okay? Since you answered that one.
But is Yingling the oldest in the United States?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
The oldest existing one.
The oldest
and they,
existing
one. Well, and they actually won a case against Molson to, what's their claim, the oldest brewery in America.
Mm.
So they didn't, Molson didn't want them to be able to say America.
Mm. Ah. All right, Todd, now you're either going to, will you bet a full beer or no beer at all in this question?
I'll bet a full beer.
Bet a full beer, so you may not
or John's
beer.
Beers.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet a couple beers.
But the next delicious beer, if you get this wrong, you can't partake.
No, then I don't.
Okay. All right, well, here's your question. In 1840, the first U.S. lager was brewed. In what city? The guy's name was John Wagner. He had a small brewery in the back of his house on St. John Street.
I'll say Boston.
I will say Milwaukee.
John?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, everybody. Oh. Yeah, yo, Philly. That's right. First lager, Philadelphia. When Wagner, this guy John Wagner, or maybe they call him Wagner, I'm not sure, bought his first lager yeast, got it from Bavaria, imported it to the United States. So here's to you, John Wagner on St. John Street. Thank you for bringing lager. And I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of lager, and I'm doing the hand quotes, meaning
Yingling.
No.
Well,
no.
We can talk about why. Because so Pilsner's a lager.
Pilsner's
Did
a lager.
Did you like that?
Right.
Pilsner Urquell.
Oh, it's awesome. It's very refreshing. It's the most... quenching of beer.
Do you not like the taste of lager, or do you not like the person who that's their favorite beer?
Both.
I suspect that it's the latter.
I'd like to hear the beer.
But there are different. There are different ingredients.
Could we get wrong information from Todd? Yeah. Who's been disseminating a bunch of friends.
Stop your yammering for 2 seconds,
right.
So we can.
Or we could get
guess.
We could get actual correct information.
It's interesting.
Well, no, I'm just going to say that different lagers, different beers are brewed usually with local ingredients because it's expensive to ship them. Even the water has an influence on how the beer tastes. Hmm. Talk about that later. But the in America. There wasn't a lot of barley, if any. Barley being the main ingredient of beer, the main ingredient of beer. And so what did they use here? What they had, they used corn and rice. And in addition to that just being a local product, the corn and the rice, it also produced a lighter tasting beer. And then after Prohibition, after World War II, et cetera, the taste for lighter and lighter beers.
Oh. And isn't rice still the number, the most abundant ingredient in American beers? Like rice?
I don't know the relative proportions, but I think I heard that. But definitely rice and corn are used as what they call adjuncts.
So it's the dumbing down of America's taste. That's what I think it is.
You know, it's really interesting because you would think that, all these beer geeks who are out brewing, home brewing and running these microbreweries would sort of downplay all that. And, they've come to respect in some ways that as a particular beer style. It's called American Light Lager.
Wow.
It can be done in a way, and it's good.
It sounds
like an example of a good American Light Lager.
Oh, I mean, Budweiser.
You said Milligen. Good.
But it's the style. That's the thing. You can.
Right, here's something. On the World Series, the whole thing is drinkability. They're doing one of these crappy American beers. I think it's Miller Lite or Bud Light. Drinkability. We're going to water down that beer so much, we're going to make sure you're able to drink it a lot. Like, what's the most drinkable thing in the world? Water, right? That has drinkability.
Mm-hmm.
So they're making their beer very. It's not about the flavor or about the satisfaction. It's about. You go to a bar at your buddies, you're able to knock back 10.
Yeah, so that's a curious thing, right? I remember going out with my friends in college, so to your point, I've never been a huge drinker. Right?
Should be.
Todd. But I remember getting ready to go out in college, and the guys that I lived with, they would go to the cafeteria and they would eat as much bread as they possibly could because they would say, the more bread I eat, the more I can drink. And I was like, What is the point?
Why not
of that?
Go lower on the bread and beer?
Yeah, like,
and have the same feeling.
You'll have the, I mean, right? Is the point to get drunk? But is the point to just sort of be able to say, I can drink a whole
exactly case of beer? Right? So it's like if you want to get drunk, then you would want nothing in your stomach, so you drink
exactly
less, and it costs less, right, and then you're blasted.
And you'd want a, like but, an ounce of pure 100% ethanol,
right? Or, no. But what is the point of eating a lot of
directly
bread?
Directly injected into your
the
blood.
Only reason is so that you can go, I drank 16 right beers.
Don't there ask me. You hung out with those guys.
Right.
Listen, I had six.
I
had six pieces of bread before I came. I did. And if
drunk
you wouldn't mind, I'm going to have some more.
Right.
But speaking
well,
of those...
I'm holding a book here.
Yes.
Just so you can see, called Beer, The Beer Companion by Michael Jackson.
That's
Michael
the most
Jackson
popular book on beer, correct? It's like it, the Bible almost?
It is the Bible. Michael Jackson is the God who wrote the Bible. He passed away, I believe, last summer.
Oh, really?
Unfortunately. And he perhaps is the single most, you know, influential person to, in this whole beer renaissance. And I'm just pointing this out because on the first page it says, never ask for a beer.
Oh.
And that gets to this point, is there's no one kind of beer, right? I mean, in the sense of your college buddies, my college buddies,
right,
you know, that was, you know, well, a beer is a beer is a beer, and so I'm going to drink 12 of them. But now we got all this variety, or the variety was there, but now it's like much more accessible. So you can go out and, yeah, I mean, you're going to get a buzz from, right, from drinking a beer, but you can also, just like with scotch or brandy or whatever, you can, you know, you can drink it out through the night.
Right.
And there are certain beers that are referred to as session beers.
Ooh.
So American light lagers would qualify. Some of the English pale ales, I'm not sure what the Tetley's is in terms of alcohol, but these are 3 or 4% alcohol,
mm-hmm,
relatively low. And the idea is, the specific aim of this beer is that you can drink many of them over the course of a long evening, so you can hang out, you can talk, you can actually, you know, walk in a straight line home.
But it could still be a decent beer, right?
Because, oh, of course.
Because I haven't had them, but I can't imagine that these new Ultra beers and stuff, like, what's left?
Oh, they're horrible. I had a Michelob Ultra.
Really?
It's not beer at all.
Yeah.
It's a horrible, it's a Frankenstein monster of beverages.
I have a question, John. Is it acceptable to, or is it recommended to, you're a beer lover, you go to a place that has a ton of great beers on tap, or even more by the bottle,
right,
to
someone
jump
else's
from beer to...
Oh,
no, like, you know, to go, you know, because that's the way, wrong or right, that's the way, if I go to a bar and
right
they have stuff on tap
right
that I've never had, 3 or 4 of them, every next beer I was like, oh, I've never had that, let me try
excellent
that.
Excellent,
yeah.
I mean, you could do it in a way like you might do with, if you think about, like, you know, French or Italian meal, where you start with an aperitif, you know, you have white wine with the first course, you have red wine with the second course, you know, you have a dessert wine.
So it's okay to mix beers over the evening.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, it's first of all, it's just okay
because why not?
You should just do it and taste different beers. A lot of places that brew their own will serve a flight, what they call a flight of beers, so
right,
you can
right
taste everything. You know, and some of these brew pubs are somewhat more mass market, and, you know, you're not getting a whole great variety, but some of them are quite good.
But is there an implied order like there is with wine?
You know, it really depends on your own taste, which I think would also be like wine. I mean, if you are going with food, I mean, the general order would be from lighter to darker, from less alcohol to more alcohol. Or you might start out, I think, like with the idea behind an aperitif is that you start off with a little higher alcohol, but light in body and color to kind of wet the appetite.
Sure. Here's a question for you, John.
Yes.
If you were bringing someone's coming to Philadelphia from, let's say, one of your buddies from Pittsburgh or Chicago.
On a train traveling 65 miles per hour.
Right. And they jump up in the air.
Right. And they're completely drunk. How would you, and they're looking for a massage. No. Where would you take them? They're like, let's go have some good beers, John.
Yeah.
Give me one or two places where, and food too, maybe. So if you want to have dinner and beers with dinner, and then go out and then just knock back a few, you know.
There are so many good places in Philadelphia. And
this is
throw some out, though. Standard Tap, Monk.
Okay. Standard Tap, Monks. Those would be, you know, up there on the list. You know, some of the brew pubs like Dock Street, also good, although they've got a pretty, you know, they got their beers only, and they've got a wood burning oven. There's a new place out where I live in Mount Airy called Earth Bread and Brewery.
Oh, okay.
Which just opened a few weeks ago.
Is it a chain, though?
No. This is not a chain.
Do they have food there too?
Uh huh. They have the wood burning oven fireplace type thing, and they serve what they call flatbread, which is with cheese and sauce and up. Yeah, it's very nice.
Check that out.
But then you've got all sorts of, so, you know, these are, well, Standard Tap and Monks are not brew pubs. You know, they don't brew the beer.
Right.
Monks especially is sort of just known for being, in fact, Michael Jackson referred to it as his favorite place in Philadelphia in the U.S. I don't know what he said about it, but, you know, because what they really pushed, and Philadelphia is now known for this, is Belgian beers.
Yes.
And I did bring one Belgian beer.
Well, why don't we
Because I wanted to start with kind of the base, you know, the ales and the lagers, and the Belgians get, like, so...
Or as Todd diverse. Calls them, the Belgians, from our last show. Todd likes to refer to crazy anyone Belgians. From Crazy Belgians. That's a great stopping point here. We're going to play a song. When we come back, we'll talk about Belgian beer, and also we'll talk about Philly microbreweries, breweries in the Philadelphia, Delaware, New Jersey
definitely,
area that we love.
Definitely. Oh, yeah, there's some good ones.
So why don't we play a song? I believe Todd Lee Von Toddlington, this is your band, your debut single this time, no?
This is Shugo Takamoru with Parachute. Takamoru with Parachute. The album Exit. Shugo is from a little town, Tokyo, Japan.
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
a little blip on the map.
Nippon.
Nippon. What do you think about that? The Americans just calling countries a completely different word.
Well,
or not even Americans. I guess English speaking.
English
people.
Yeah.
So
well, everybody has a different word for every country.
Yeah.
It just seems so. Ethnocentric to be calling.
Well, no, I think you need it because in the world of diplomacy, where you have, you know, United Nations, you have stuff like that, you need a common term for each country. It's not so much like a chauvinistic American thing.
Why can't the common term be the country's name and like what
they call
most
of those because most of those names are stupid.
Oh.
And they're created by like crazy natives who don't know any better. They have to rely on a more cultured culture to give them a name like this Côte d'Ivoire. What the hell is that? It's Ivory Coast. Right?
Named after two soaps.
Yeah, right? That's crazy.
A country named after two soaps.
So it's along those lines, Todd. We give them names that are just more digestible to everybody.
Which one are you drinking there? St. Bernardus?
Yeah, okay, guys. We're going to... John, we are going to talk about Belgian beer.
Belgian beer. We moved over to Belgium.
Now, can I say my greatest night of drinking?
Yes.
Two nights was in Belgium. I mean, like I said, Munich was great.
Yeah.
But in Belgium, I've never blacked out more happily in my life than completely. We went to just a little hostel.
Yeah.
Called Snuffle, the greatest hostel in the world. And
called Snuff Film? I don't know if I would have said that.
Well, Snuff Film was what I made after I blacked out. Snuffle was the name of the... killed a man in Belgium. It was a Belgium I killed. But, you know, we figured we'd start out on the... we'd start out the night at the bar at the hostel. Me and a couple of my buddies, Dave Barras, who's a big listener of Usewigs, he was with me, big Dave, and we started drinking there, and we never left, because the bartender was so cool, and he's like, I'm going to pour you every great Belgian beer.
Yeah.
And it was like...
And that would take you...
Picture like zippity-doo-dah, you know, like little birds are coming on your shoulders, like it's that happy. Every happy thing was happening to me. I'm in Europe, I'm drinking deliciousness like I can't believe, then all of a sudden I'm standing at the bar, next thing you know... Dave, like, you just fell down, passed out, and that was it. And that was Snuffle, and it was great.
Next thing you know, you're on the train out of town.
We go to Bruges, which is called
the Philadelphia of
Baltimore. No, it's actually... What's the canal city in Italy? I'm totally blind.
Venice.
The Venice of the North. It's all canals. And like you said, John, we rode bikes. We stopped. We drank beer. Rode bikes some more. It's beautiful. Just great. Yeah. Anyway, Belgian beer is great. And the only thing I know about Belgian beer, it's more fruit-based, correct?
No, that would not be true. But yeah, it's definitely more flavorful and more different, more distinctive flavors. I'll put it that way.
In it? Is that
there
why
is
you say
some,
that?
Not that one, not the white beer. We're drinking a Belgian white, mm-hmm. also known as Wit. Hoegaarden's a big example, is Blue Moon.
Blue Moon stinks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Coors makes that.
I have another misconception about Belgians. I'm wondering if you can clear up. Now, somebody told me that
the beers or the people?
The beers.
Okay.
that they Belgians. Use like champagne hops or something? Or
yeast.
Oh, they champagne use champagne yeast.
Yeah, that may be. I'm not 100% sure about that, but it could be true.
Okay.
There are no hops in champagne.
Ah. Okay, right. That makes sense.
Which brings us to the ingredients of beer, which we should.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I brought the two. Well, there are four ingredients of beer, four main ingredients, water being a big one. There's a famous town called Burton on Trent in England, in the west of England, I believe, which is known for its waters, and Bass Ale is a good example of the beer that comes from there. And it's very soft water. It's got all sorts of calcium and magnesium, all this stuff, so it's distinctive, and home brewers, for instance, will add those minerals into the water so that it...
To emulate that, yeah.
To emulate the taste, because it affects how the yeasts do their work and how the grains...
What are you holding there, John?
This is a bag of malted barley.
Malted barley.
Malted barley.
Pop that in your mouth
while
you're eating beer?
Actually, that's what we're going to do.
All right, take some. Take some down, pass it around. Can you get drunk just from eating barley?
Actually, you cannot.
Damn.
What's in barley... What is it? So barley's a grain. It has starch in it. When you malt it, essentially what you do is you soak it in cold water. Mm-hmm. You let it sit on the floor for a day or two or three, turning it over once in a while. And their seeds, they start to germinate. And so those starches, the enzymes in there become active and start converting the starches into sugars. And then what they do is, after a few days of that, they roast it a little bit just
to
stop
flavorful.
All that process. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not also bad, like... It's by itself, yeah.
No, I was listening to a brewing podcast, and one guy said that, you know, he woke up one morning, didn't have any cereal, and he just poured that in a bowl with some milk on it.
Yeah,
it
I was thinking in yogurt, it wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it.
You know, malted milkshakes, that's where it comes from. Malt is...
Is barley,
Is
huh?
germinated barley, yeah, or wheat, which is what...
Is that what Whoppers are made out of?
the candy.
They have barley as an...
That's about the hamburger.
Yeah, isn't that...
Yeah, they're malted milk balls. Yeah, malt balls. Malted milk.
Other Whoppers made out of horse and pig spines, I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so definitely not malt.
Get these away from me.
All right, so what other ingredients do we have?
So what the brewer will do is take these malted grains, crush them up a little bit, and soak them in hot water, about 150 degrees Fahrenheit, for about an hour or two. And what that'll do is that'll allow, it'll get the sugars out, it'll allow some enzymes that are in there to convert the big, long starch chains into smaller sugars, so it gets sweeter. And then what they do is they take that off, That's called the wort. So it's sweet barley water. And then they add usually hops. So these are hops. These are dried. These hops are a plant, obviously.
Something tells you this isn't going to taste as good, John.
Well, smell it. You just want to. You don't want to eat a hop. No.
Will it kill you?
Are you daring me to eat a hop?
I dare you to
Russ,
eat a hop.
Russ, eat four. Russ will eat anything.
Will it hurt me if I eat it?
No.
It's just gross.
But Russ does.
No, it's just a bitter herb.
Russ eats like crappy candy from Europe.
This is like it. What's the Ricola? You know, I'm sure there's. Mm. Oh, it's basically like having a Ricola.
It's just bitter, sour.
Yeah. So it's got. So the hops serve two purposes in beer, in terms of the flavor and the taste. The first purpose is bitter. They're called bittering hops. You put those in when you boil up. Not good to
Russ
eat the hops.
Such a good time eating
that. Yeah. Oh, like the first.
But yeah. It went from bad to worse.
Yeah, but you know, like when beer gets really sour at the end, that's how it tastes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh. Wow.
And some beers, like an India Pale Ale, for example, has extreme hops. I was going to get to this because there's extreme brewing is sort of the current thing.
Like while they're snowboarding down a slope, they're making
something
beer.
Like that.
Awesome.
And they're making it really strong, which is adding a lot more malt to it. That's where the sugars come from. The yeast eat the sugars and make alcohol, basically. So the more sugar you start with, the more alcohol can be made. There's a limit, but the yeast die after a while. And then the other thing is a really hoppy beer. What's that?
No, it just makes me sad.
Yeah.
It's like when doves cry. Go on.
So anyway, the malt and the hops.
So the hoppier beers are the IPAs.
India Pale Ale is a big traditionally a lot of hops and also a little stronger. So the idea is a pale ale, which is what we had initially, the Tetleys or like a Bass Ale, pretty mild in a way, in terms of there's some hop character there, but of course England had a big colonial empire in India, and they would ship beer there for the English, and to make the trip on the boats they would need to make it stronger, and one key thing that preserves beer is the hops and the alcohol, so they make it a little more strong alcohol-wise, and also more hops in it. When the whole home brewing and microbrew thing took off here in the U.S., these guys just went crazy with it.
Oh,
you know, you'll have like quadruple imperial IPAs or something like this. It's just off
guys.
The charts.
Let me just interject with a bit of trivia.
Go ahead. Find
this is very important. The first six pack. Oh my goodness! My computer just shut down.
Oh, nice. Well, then maybe it's time for a little bit of music.
A little bit of music.
When we come back.
Okay, guys. Why don't we play a little bit of music? And I believe I'm up next with, with a band. My computer's down. But I think I will play a song by a band called Oxes.
We'll be right back.
And we're back, people. That was the band Auxes, A-U-X-E-S, and that was their song Burning Brighter off their new CD Sunshine on Love It Records. Go to myspace.com/Auxes. Check them out. That's Dave Laney. He was the creative force behind Chicago's Challenger and Mile Marker, two of my favorite bands past few years. John, I'm going to get back and talk to you about Belgian beers. Quickly, my favorite were, of course, Chimay,
mm-hmm.
Duval were a big one.
I like Leffe.
Yeah. They're just
Leffe, is that easy?
Outstandingly flavorful.
Yeah.
Like, and insanely high in alcohol. And does that go hand in hand?
I wouldn't say they're all insanely. I mean,
there's some that are 9%. Right?
Yes, they're Abbey.
Something knocked me on my ass,
yes.
John's
play.
But not all of those are necessarily high alcohol. But
what's
right.
your favorite Belgian, John? Prince Philip? No, I meant the beer. What's your favorite?
That's a good point. I would say I started with the wit beers, like we're drinking. The Celis, all the Pierre Celis. So we drank one from St. Bernardus. One of the Belgian brewers from, I believe he's from that brewery, came to Austin, Texas, I think it was. And this was in the, I'm not sure, the late 70s or early 80s, and started brewing Celis White, which was kind of all the rage a while ago, and I was surprised to just find it again.
It's very good.
So I like this. So the wit beers and the German Weiss beers, mm-hmm. that both mean white in their respective languages, but they're a little bit different. They have wheat in them in addition to barley. That's the key mm-hmm. difference.
Oh, so it's barley and wheat. It's
barley and wheat, not just wheat, right.
Is there just a wheat beer?
Yeah. No. Well,
oh, really?
There may be, but right. no. I think from my...
It tastes like ass, so no. Russ, if there's one thing I have to really hammer home to you, it's everything is barley in it or it will taste like ass.
Okay. Well, that's...
Learn something.
Words to live by.
Yeah. I tried to...
You get a bumper sticker that says that.
I tried to interject before. This is very important. The first six-pack of beer was produced by Pabst Brewery in the 1940s, and the brewery conducted numerous studies and found that six cans was the ideal weight for the average housewife to carry home from the store.
Excellent.
Get out.
Isn't that interesting? That's how you got the six-pack.
Yeah,
speaking
not
of,
yet.
John, West Philadelphia.
West Philly, yeah.
What is the
Dock Street.
Dock Street.
Yes.
Is fantastic.
It's a good place out in West Philly, 50th and Baltimore, putting a small plug for all the listeners.
Yeah, will you be
there.
Going there and doing
I
something?
I am. I've been talking with the owners and the brewer out there about just... kind of doing this.
Yeah,
so this
I think
is my test.
That'd cool. be a lot of fun.
This is my test to talk about beer styles, etc.
Okay. Is it a song time?
It is.
It's a song time. I believe, Todd, this is one of your crazy songs.
This is crazy. Put on your safety belt, folks, because this is going to be Sleepyhead by Passion Pit.
And everything is going to the beat. And everything is going to the beat. And everything is going to...
Yeah.
The track, Sleepyhead. The band, Passion Pit. The album, Chunk of Change.
Yeah,
I had to applaud Jeff for...
Please do.
I don't know if I'm going to say growing, because some people would say like he took a giant step backwards or forwards, yes. Laterally or forwards, but... A year ago, that song would have never made it to the podcast.
I would have taken
he's broadening his horizon.
I liked it, and I need a song to kick in. It didn't kick in, but it was still very groovy.
It's unorthodox. That song is unorthodox to say the least. But Russ and I think always like challenging music.
Yeah.
And you would put the kibosh frequently on a challenging song. But
I don't like being challenged in any sort of way.
That's a bizarre piece of music, and I appreciate it.
It was good. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. You know, it
reminded me of The Residents a little bit.
The net is not as tightly woven as it was a year ago.
Correct.
Today.
And I'm a fantastic guy, so you can expect
this is
fantastic.
Also the beer show, so
it is the beer
right.
show. So. John's
put a couple drinks in.
He's been working with me for the last year, so
that's right.
That's had something to do with it. I've tried to loosen him up.
He has. Well, when you come by and we do our beer talk, I'm a happy as
we
a.
We do talk about Billy Bragg.
Yes, you sent me really bad photos from Billy Bragg on your phone, right?
Or no, that was the Pogues.
The Pogues, right.
And you prevented me from going to see the Proclaimers.
That's right.
Save me.
I saved you. So, John, right now, any like shout outs, anything you want to give props to beer wise in Philadelphia or your own endeavors? I mean, we got to get the website up for you.
That's right. We're gonna do a beer.
Have we decided on a name yet?
Well, I like Good Brew, BRU, with a little umlaut.
Oh, I like that.
Proper.
That's good.
Although now, of course, someone's going to take it because I haven't reserved it.
You haven't done it yet?
I'll
doing it right
it now.
Oh, shit. Todd just took it.
I will. Todd, too late.
Todd, look okay. at it. He's sending you an email. John, for $300, I will sell you. Yeah. Todd is he's horrible.
Okay, okay.
He gets guests on and steals ideas.
But your wife had a suggestion. I couldn't remember which one that was.
She did have a good one.
Yeah.
Well, she's a word person, so she knows words, and I think it was...
It
was Beery McFartstein. And, you know, she's very classy, and she likes kind of, like, catchy. It's catchy.
Yeah, that's why
she people would be like, I'm going to Beery McFartstein.
But, we can develop the beer site just to kind of... The idea would be, you know, you're getting ready to go out. You want to, like, search... Where different beers are, what styles of beer. So a whole, it's basically the IMDb of beer.
Whoa.
That's my idea. But so we could do it with beer.
This is the answer.
Like IBDB.
All right. So yeah, we'll get that up and running, and hopefully we'll be seeing you at Dock Street.
Dock Street. I'm gonna
November.
We're probably pushing it more towards December now.
That would be great. Picture this, guys. Christmas theme. We're all dressed up in our Santa outfits, our elf outfits, as we like to do. And we just go out for a night of drinking. And maybe that could be a mobile podcast.
It would be great to go down there.
Because Jeff said you guys are going to sponsor the whole event.
We are. We certainly are.
Big banner behind there.
I think we owe you after all the beers.
Yeah, we can.
I can paint the banner at least.
Yeah, okay. Todd, you can do beer-based paintings and drawings. Because Todd does live performance while bands play or people speak. So
okay.
We can capture
the
moment.
Can you work that into the beer tasting?
Sure. Yeah.
That would actually be really cool.
That'd be fun.
Guys, quickly, your favorite local beers. I know Russ, Dogfish Head.
Dogfish Head's a great beer.
Yeah,
you know,
and that brewer, Sam Caglione.
He's a great guy.
And he's pushed. He's just pushed.
He was
just
on the Today Show.
Is that right?
Yeah, I just saw a clip.
We did a video for him a couple of years ago, and he was a great guy. So we got to hang out with him a little bit. Actually, their 60-minute IPA is very easy to find up here, but the 90-minute IPA is unbelievable.
Do you know my beer
and there's
guy
a 120?
Talked me out of it?
Did you know that?
Is there a 120?
There's a 120.
No. My beer guy, Norbert Beverage, Mike, talked me out of the 90-minute.
No.
It was Friday.
That was a mistake.
And I said I would like a case of the 90-minute. He goes, Jeff, what are you going
to
do?
You can't handle the truth.
He kind of knows me. And he's like, I said, you know, we're going to have a few tonight, watch a movie. He goes, you're not going to make it through the whole movie. And
that's true.
And he's like, how about the 60? I'm like, all right, we'll go to 60. And that was delicious, and it was fine. But he was just like, 90-minute, you got to be a little more, you know. John, what do you think of Flying Fish Belgian Abbey Dubbel? What is a Dubbel?
Double. It's a double. It's what we talked about. There's a double and a triple.
Similar to the Celebrator.
Well, yeah, that's a German version. They do double box there. Because
I myself like the Flying Fish Belgian Abbey Dubbel. Todd, any local ones you like?
Well, we talked about Brooklyn.
Brooklyn Lager.
I like the
Brooklyn Brewer.
The Brooklyn Chocolate Stout, which is limited edition, comes out in the winter. And
9% alcohol?
No, I believe that's 11.9.
Oh, there you go.
I made five pieces of bread before I did
that. That's a serious, serious
beer. That's a tough
beer.
I'm going to bread up my belly.
Wife. But the missus and I love it.
Yeah. And the one that I like local is Yards ESA on the hand pump at McMenamin's Tavern in Mount Airy.
Is that where you get the Schmitter to McMenamin's?
No, that's up in McNally's. Up in Chestnut.
I get those stupid Mick bars all confused.
Philadelphia.
John, something tells me when we have favorite guests, we ask them back. I think we're going to ask you back. Maybe. How about next show, guys? Well, another beer show. Woo! Yeah!
Change this into a beer podcast.
We have two beers left. Three beers left.
Okay. Why don't we just mention them and then we will be off the air as we.
Yeah, I got a Scottish Wee Heavy.
Whoa! Yeah. Look at
you can
that.
You can get a good version of this at Notting Head. Actually, they do a good version. This is Scottish ales. Typically, have more malt, very few hops.
Scots for.
And that one's a little heavier. This is a German Alt. Which
Look
is a
this.
German ale.
Talk about minimalist label.
Yeah, I hadn't seen this one.
Yeah, that fancy resealable.
Yeah, it's got that.
There.
Yeah. And then the last one I got just because Jeff was here.
Yeah.
And I figured if we didn't get a Mick beer.
This. Yeah, you got to get a Mick beer here. This is Murphy's Draft Style Stout. Yeah. Murphy's a very good stout.
Yeah. When they're oatmeal stout.
Yeah, the three main stouts, I guess you would say, in Ireland, of course, is the Guinness, Murphy's, and then
Beamish.
Beamish in the southern area of Ireland, Cork, if you will, Killarney down there. Guinness all over the island, and Murphy more in the northern area.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Good to know.
Spent a couple times there in Ireland drinking some beers. All right, Russ is giving me the sign that he hates me, which I get a lot. It's a finger and a fist. John Ciccotti, thank you very much.
Oh,
we look
pleasure.
Forward
Glad
to seeing you in West Philly very soon for beer night. And guys, we have a lot of beers to finish, so we will see you later.
Thanks, John.